want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 368, recorded live on September 10th, 2014. I'm your host, Head Hard Hat with
Daryl W. Four and
Scott Burks.
You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. You can also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by cache-advance.com for all your geocaching needs. Cache-advance.com. Go find it. Well, it wouldn't be a live podcast if there wasn't some kind of technical difficulty coming one way or the other. That's just all part of the fun of doing live.
Yeah, it's the joy of live. And it wasn't even my fault this time. How about that?
I know it. It's amazing. It's good stuff. Well,
live with underwritten tools from advertising, shall we say.
Why, yes. But hey, you know what? I would wonder how far things would have gotten if Google Plus didn't get Hangouts. I think we would still be doing what? Skype?
Yeah. 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 And probably spending a boatload of money on the Skype. They have a couple of services. There's like the professional, I think, that you need now to do some of the Hangouts and stuff. But they also have now that broadcaster service that's something like $50,000 for the hardware and then $1,000 a month.
Oh, you might as well get a TriCaster and just cut to the chase.
Daryl, you have that,
well, no,
right?
No. This is an input for the TriCaster.
Really?
An input,
yes,
for the
TriCaster.
Yes,
this is just a box to connect to your remote, guys. This replaces the satellite, basically. That's what they're looking at.
$50,000.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like $50,000 for the rack mount unit. You know, most of that is not hardware. Most, Daryl, it is a hardware box, but
Daryl, you don't have children. You have that kind of money.
I was going to say, hey, we just explained to the listeners, we need you to support the show, and oh, can we have $50,000? I'm sure they'll go for it.
Right.
Hey, before that, can I get fiber? I really like to have.
Yeah,
you know, still trying for that fiber, aren't you? Still fighting for that fiber.
I hate when that happens. All right, let's see. Banter-wise, no geocaching this week, but I did put out on my blog. I got a really good deal, and I'm assuming it's a good deal. I was in a local dollar store and found a whole bunch in the because I get those dollar first aid kits. Those are what I give out as swag when I do for the larger geocaches. People really appreciate it because in a lot of places where you go geocaching, you get caught up and messed up, and having a first aid kit there as swag is always a good thing. Next to that, they had a whole bunch of those pill holders with the key ring.
Mm-hmm.
And where I used to pay $5 for those suckers, they were $1 a piece.
Wow, nice.
And I thought that's a pretty good deal for something to make a potential geocache out of.
You know what, Scott? I think we need to introduce him to American Scientific Supply.
American,
really?
Science and Surplus is what he needs. That's what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. They have goodies?
Oh, so cheap.
They have,
yes, so cheap.
Yeah, they have lots and lots of goodies.
I don't think they have one out there, do they? They don't have one out in North Carolina, I don't think.
No, it's only Chicago and Minneapolis, is it?
Is it? I don't even, I know there's a couple of them.
So.
I don't know where they are, though.
You can order via mail, though.
Yeah,
oh, sure.
They have the old-fashioned traditional catalog that I absolutely love getting because it reminds me of the 1980s.
Yeah, I was a catalog nut back then, too. I would get like 4 catalogs a day in the mail. I was a total
catalog
junkie.
I so want to say something about Sears catalog, but this is a family show. I'm going to keep that right there.
Yeah, no, it's not a Sears catalog. This is that old newsprint, black and white, maybe one other color, line art drawings, you know, no like photos. It's all, you know, sketchy line art. I love it. It's that throwback.
Wow.
And of course they have the website that is not from the 80s.
Right, of course.
That's good.
Not.
I'll have to check that out, because any place that I can get decent geocaching containers or swag.
Yeah. American Science and Surplus. List. Absolutely, yes. Yes, absolutely.
Cool. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I've gotten boxes of stuff from them that I have yet to put out, but most of it is stuff I just gave away to other people.
Yep. I can't tell you how many helicopter pens I've got that I'll have to show you one time. A bunch of they gave to me that basically it's just a pyramid base with a little point on the top, and there's a pen that you put on the middle of it, and you can spin it like a helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
It's great entertainment for kids and me for hours. But anyways, got a bunch of those, and same thing. Getting rid of them is the hard part.
Mm. Well, speaking of helicopters, though, I was actually caching under helicopters while I was riding my bike this weekend.
Ooh.
Good segue.
The Selfridge Air Show was happening, so I had, you know, helicopters. I had what are they called? The Warthogs, the
110s,
Blue Angels.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah, the Blue Angels were flying overhead. I had the refueling planes flying circles. So it was one of those days. We got a lot of caches knocked off. Well, about 20-ish caches knocked off by bike. Mm-hmm. Decided to pack it in because we had other stuff going. It was an afternoon thing. But we couldn't hear each other because we were fighting with the planes overhead the whole time.
Oh,
whenever we get time and some good libations, I'll have to tell you, I live directly next to Selfridge, and how my family and several other people have stopped the air show.
Really? Really? Stop
so,
the air
yes,
show?
We'll go over that.
You know, it's funny.
And also, not to go with your two brothers in the field next to Selfridge doing rocketry. Also not a good
See,
thing.
That story you've actually told me.
I used to, back in my old house where I grew up, we lived probably about 2.5-3 miles from the Glenview Naval Air Station. It's not around anymore. Now it's a mall. But that's where the B-52s took off for the first Iraq war in the early 90s. That's where they took off to go out there. And those suckers took off, and it would literally shake the house. From yep. miles away, those things were so huge, literally would shake the house.
Yeah, we swore that the jets used our swimming pool as a waypoint to get by. But that's a whole different story. Good stuff. Let's head on to the podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on the geocaching podcasting community. And what's coming up this week, Daryl, with GeoGearheads?
Well, this week we're talking about the essential geocaching tools, and we've got Pete of the Amazons, who also does the Podcacher show, and the geocaching vlogger, who's going to be joining us for that one. So I expect that to be a very entertaining show.
That's going to be good. I've been loving the last couple episodes of GeoGearheads, too. Really good information. Also on the GeoSnippets Reboot podcast, if it sounds familiar from last week, that's because we had to do the big switcheroo for all the stuff that's going on with Michelin and did an entire show based on the Michelin Quest for Adventure. So since it was so convenient that I already wrote the show, we're going to do it this week again, and you get to actually listen to it, where we're going to be talking about geocaching and locating ground zero techniques, which is very helpful, hopefully, for a lot of geocachers, especially if you're starting out. And that'll be tomorrow on the Geo Gearheads and on the GeoSnippets Reboot podcast. All right, good stuff. Let's head right into the geocaching question of the day.
Question of the day. Hey, cachers. I'm Lookout Lisa from Cache Advance, your host for the geocaching question of the day. Well, I've been caching since 2002, and I've been in the business of geocaching since 2005. Monday through Thursdays, we ask our followers on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+ a question about geocaching.
We recently asked, how far away is your find furthest from home? Well, after tallying all the answers, we found cachers have traveled 208,047 miles total for their furthest caches from home, averaging 3,587 miles to the furthest. We did have to do some kilometers to miles conversions, and some answers were only of places, not the actual distance traveled, so I'm pretty sure this number is actually low. So here's what we heard. James on Facebook said 8,160 miles to India. I think I have to go to South Africa to get much further than that. Well, Charlie, also on Facebook, shared 16,672 kilometers, which converts to 10,359 miles. The cache is in Australia, and we live in central Canada. This was one of about 140 we found on a trip down under, including our furthest south. Well, Charlie, you also win for the furthest distance traveled. Wow. Well, my furthest find is 4,851.3 miles, which is from Washington State to France. It is Liberty's Flame, a virtual cache hidden in 2002, and it's come to be a memorial of sorts as it's on the bridge over where Princess Diana, Dodi Fayed, and their chauffeur died in 1997. The flame is a replica of the torch held by the Statue of Liberty in New York City. It's simply amazing where caching will take you. Well, as always, we really enjoyed hearing about how far cachers will travel for a cache, and you can too if you follow us, Cache Advance, on Facebook, Twitter, and Google Plus for the geocaching question of the day. Thanks and happy caching.
All right, let's move on. Episode 368, the 7 Souvenirs of August feedback. We put out on Google Plus a request from our fine listeners as to what's going on with your thoughts as far as the 7 Souvenirs of August. And did you like it? Did you not like it? What was it comparatively to last year and how you felt about it? And we got quite a few people writing in, and then we'll ask each of the hosts their final thoughts with that as well. And some of the things that I would love to hear, especially from the hosts in that, is what would you like to have next year? Have we even thought of that yet? And go that way. So let's.
I'm thinking a hot dog party for Walt.
That could be a good thing. Why don't I read off the first one from Dane Morgan, and then we'll just kind of talk amongst ourselves as far as how these go and go from there, and as many as we can fit in for tonight. Mm-hmm. Dane Morgan put the 7 Souvenirs of August was a much better challenge, in my opinion, than the previous year. While it didn't encourage us to do new types, because we like a mixture of them all. Anyways, we did appreciate the inclusion of the wide variety of cache types that make up geocaching as a whole. Not every route is a fit for every cacher, but they are all worth a good trial run for any cacher. And I agree with that. What are you guys' thoughts?
Yeah, I definitely would agree that I love doing all types of caches. Yeah, I like the variety. Some days I feel like one type or another, so it just kind of forced me to go out of my way to find an earth cache, and I don't have many earth caches around me. It's all, you know, pretty much like 45-minute drives. So that was the downside of it, is that because I've gone and cleared out so many of these types of caches, it made it a little tough for me to fill the 7 souvenirs, but I still did it in, 3 days?
Yeah, me too. I did it, you know, in the first week, and I agree that it was nice to be able to get out and, you know, do a bunch of caches, different types of caches. But, and what was especially nice is I was able to do it pretty much in one county, and so I actually got a coin for it. I did all 7 in a county and got a coin for that. So that was nice. But, it was nice. I liked it.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the consensus that I'm getting from a lot of people, is that they felt this was a better cache. But one of the things that kind of occurred to me, and I'm wondering if other people had realized that as well, it's like once you did it, because I literally did the entire thing in one day, in the beginning of the month. After that, it was just kind of an afterthought.
Yeah, me and Andy were talking before we went on the air, and he was saying, you know, 7 souvenirs. I'm like, I did that like 5 weeks ago. That's like that's so in my caching past. You know, I've done so many caches since then. You know, it's like, meh.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I was with it, too, is it's such, it was a snippet and it was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, people were still talking about it at the end of the month. It's like, I don't even remember what I did for caches to satisfy any of those original 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to think about it because it was so long ago. And that's one of the nice things. Last year, it kept you engaged the entire month.
Right.
And it got people to try a different type of caching, and I really get the impression that that's what Groundspeak is doing, is try different ways of caching. You know, try the different caches today. Go for the challenging caches like the puzzles or the earth caches that you might not have done otherwise. You know, do the multi. I know so many people that absolutely hate doing multis.
Oh, shame.
So this kind of forced them into trying a multi again.
Love the multis. Yeah, and love the multis.
Yep.
The thing I hate about the multis is when you can't find, like, stage four.
Yeah.
Well, and that seems to be the popular thing.
There shouldn't be a, I mean, a multi should be two or three stages. I don't want to get into multis here, but it shouldn't be six, seven, eight stages. It should be, you know, four at the most, you know, a multi.
Well, and if it is going to be one of these ones where you have to run around and find all these coordinates, make sure that it's something that is permanent and isn't going to go away.
Laminate the thing. No. Laminate the piece of paper.
Now, that said, I've gone for LPCs where we've gone to get that LPC, and the crew is removing all the lampposts from the parking lot.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
Yes. But I liked it. What was nice about last year's was that so many people I know, including myself, kept going. My longest streak was like, oh my, like nothing, like 100 days. And then I went to 150 days. So I streaked for, you know, how many months? You know, almost 6 months, which was nice. You know, I just kept it going, you know.
Yep. Now, so, Daryl, you did the same thing, right? You had quite a streak.
Yeah, I went for 123 days.
Right.
Yeah. Now, but I'm glad to say that since Scott's here, he was obviously not caught by any cops while he was drinking. Well, let's go on to Chris's comment.
Yep.
It was less intimidating than the 31 days of geocaching, in my opinion, and definitely encouraged people to get out and try new cache types they may not have experienced in a while or ever before. I'm wondering how many multis are going to be archived as a result of the 7 souvenirs of August. So many people seem to go for the multis that had one or more stages missing, and they ended up looking for quick 2 and 3 stage multis. There was a lot of frustration, but hopefully it motivates cache owners to go out and check on their multis.
Yeah, good point. I have to admit, though, Amy was a new geocacher at that time. She was very excited to do this. Every day we were doing that, and of course, it was harder for me because my area was picked out. She could pick anywhere she wanted to go to it. But even then, when she started getting towards the end of the month, it started to seem like work to her to actually go out for that.
But another good thing about the one from last year is one of those best ways to improve your geosense is to get out frequently and exercise.
100% agree. You lose it. Yeah, lose it. You will lose your geosense. Yeah,
indeed. Yes, trust me.
Absolutely.
I very well know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it doesn't take that long.
No.
It is very location specific.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So if you get used to the caches in your area and you travel to another country, don't expect your geosense to work very well.
Or another
state. I was going to say another country. What am I trying to say? What's it? Oh my! I'm totally blanking. What's it called?
I noticed.
What's it called? The cars right by the cars. What's that called?
Lamppost?
The highway?
No. Yeah. No. But what's that rail? The rail.
Guardrail.
Thank you, Jesse. Guardrail. Yes. The guardrail height is so different in another state, and where we put it in Chicago and in Illinois is completely different where they put it in a different state. And so I'm looking for the Illinois hide when it's not even, you know, and I'm like, it's not here. But then there it is in, you know, probably where the spot is, you know, where it's normally put in the state of, I don't know, Wisconsin, you know. So when you leave your state and go to a different state or probably your area, you know, your geosense will take a little honing to get to find that cache.
Yeah, absolutely.
And even the lamp skirts can change.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, whatever the traditional flora and fauna are for that particular state. I know when I went to Florida for GeoWoodstock that time, to them, they absolutely knew that the common place to look was in the little crevices in the palm trees. We didn't have a clue. So that's their holly bush for us.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know. Yeah, and you know that when you go down there, the alligators are real. They're not the plastic ones with the bison tubes in the mouth.
Very much so. Don't stick your hand in that one. That one bites.
Again, one of the other things that I liked about last year's was it kept me engaged. You know, I wasn't done in a week. I had to go. Even if I found 20 caches today, tomorrow I had to go and find another one. You know, yeah. Whereas like Daryl was saying, I was done in a day, and that was it. I you know, the first week I was done, and that was it.
Now, one of the suggestions from Anon in the chat room, Anon1243, said for next year, there should be a new challenge for each week in August. That way the fun can go all month long. So that's a thought. That's a thought.
Yeah, that's a good thought. And one of the things that really struck me is how different last year was to this year. Last year was all about that more sport-like caching. Mm-hmm. You know, get out. Do caching every day. You're about the numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, find the cache.
And this year, it's not about the number. It's about the variety. It's about the exploration. Mm-hmm. And I like that they had that kind of change up from one year to the next. And a lot of people I've talked to who are newer didn't even know that Where I Goes existed.
Really?
Yes.
So this is their first exposure to a Where I Go. Some of them had never tried an Earth cache. They were always intimidated. So it encouraged them to get the Earth cache. So, yeah, both of them encourage people to do stuff that they hadn't done before. And I liked aspects about both, and I'm anxious to see what they're going to come up with next year. But let's get to another bit of feedback. Scott, why don't you read the one from Andy?
I'm so not prepared. Go ahead. Somebody else read it.
I'll get it.
Okay.
Andy Burton wrote in, I liked it. It encouraged us to broaden our horizons and try things we probably or perhaps hadn't done before. Last year's challenge just encouraged us to do more of the same. Personally, it got me to travel across my state to attend my first large geocaching event. As a typically solo cacher, doing this was out of my comfort zone, but I'm glad I did it. I hope they find a way next year to, again, encourage more kinds of activities rather than just one activity. And that really seems to be the theme I'm seeing a lot of. You hear words like intimidated or encouraged or broadening your horizon. It's forcing us to go, you know, I normally probably wouldn't have gone for this particular cache, but since it's part of the souvenir, I'll go do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And it really did force people to go and look at that cache map again and kind of plan out what I'm going to do. And, you know, frankly, the one last year did the same thing, but in a different way. You were looking for, okay, what are those quick park and grabs that I know I'm going to be able to get so I can fill one each and every day? This year was like, okay, what are the good caches in my area that I can go get to fill these six requirements?
I do have to admit, last year we were in situations because we had to get that souvenir for that day. Mm-hmm. Time ran out, so that meant, okay, now I got to go out and do a night cache to go find it. And I have to stretch my ways of having plan A, B, and C to go finally actually achieve one because sometimes the geocache wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. Well, talking about the expansion of your horizons, Jersey Eric wrote that he really enjoyed the seven souvenirs of August. It prompted me to re-explore local puzzles, multis, and earth caches. I'm a planner type of guy, so I enjoyed planning in late July which two or three potential caches I might target for each souvenir. I still wanted to go after some of these potential caches that I did not go after in August. On a different note, at the event cache I hosted on August 29th for my socializer souvenir, several cachers attended who never went to a geocaching event before. At least two had over 100 cache finds or more, but they came to my event, their first event, just because of the seven souvenirs of August. Isn't that great?
Yeah, it is awesome. It's like they said, it's pushing them past that zone, that comfort zone, where they may not have normally gone at it. And it's like, oh, wow, if we want the souvenir, we're going to have to go do this.
Well, and there were a couple of events. One of them was a CETO around here where new cashers showed up who have never been to an event before. And after the CETO, I spent probably about 45 minutes to an hour with one couple who had just really started to get into geocaching, mm-hmm. showing them the ins and the outs of the app and, you know, this kind of stuff, you know, they were just amazed, and they're so excited to hit more events in the future because they got to really connect with geocachers. And if it weren't for the Seven Souvenirs of August, they probably would not have had that opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's interesting, too, when it comes to events, how many how many people have actually hosted their first event because they didn't have them in their area close enough? So it's like, we got to host an event. Not only does it help them get the souvenir, but it helped a lot of the other people in the same area that didn't have an event to go to either.
That's, I did that for that International Space Station event. I hosted an event in my area because the closest one was like 25 miles away. I'm like, I'm not driving 25 miles for that souvenir. I'll just host one. Yeah,
but that means you got bigger numbers, which we didn't know about ahead of time. And that's one of the things that really took a lot of people by surprise. They didn't know that we were going to get ranked this time around. Mm-hmm. This is the first time geocaching.com has done any kind of ranking like that. And it really did surprise most of us, if not all of us.
Did you, I missed the show last week. Did we get the final numbers on that? Did you guys discuss that? What the final numbers were?
We did. It was like 65,000-ish.
Nice. Yeah. Wow. That's a lot.
I mean, that's a good push. And I think a lot of it, too, was because people didn't realize, even though you achieved the six souvenirs, you actually had to go into there and click on the logo for that so you can actually get the achiever after that. And that's when the numbers really started taking off.
Well, and supposedly at the end of that period, they were going to automatically award the seventh souvenir to anyone who had accomplished the six and just hadn't gone in to activate it.
That's cool.
So I don't know that we actually have a final count, but the count that we had last week was 65,000 and change, if I recall. Shall we get into some feedback from Wet Coaster?
That'd be Gary.
Yep.
All right. I liked it, he said. Some of the goals were a little harder to get than others, virtuals and webcams in particular, but it made the search more enjoyable. The 31 days of caching last year seemed more like a death march at time. I made it to seven. I found the first letterbox hybrid, and that has got me looking for more now. And I do see that a lot from comments from people, is that they got a flavor, they got a taste of certain types of geocaching. Caches, and it's like, you know what, that's not so bad, I can go do some more of these, and it encourages them to go to, and do just that.
And that's great that it's actually doing that, you know.
I'm hoping that was the goal.
Yeah, the only problem with like what Daryl said, the only problem is that like us who've been doing it for, you know, 6-7 years is it's not, all those are gone, you know. I mean, I had to drive 40 minutes to, you know, to even get an area that even had a couple of them, you know. And then drive further into you know, that county to get, you know, different ones.
Well, it brings up another good point as well. He's in an area quite frequently, Edmonton, Canada, that doesn't have a whole lot of density compared to like a city. Mm-hmm. You know, it still has more than if you're out in the boonies. But for someone like that, doing the 31 days is really, really tough.
Right.
This is a little bit more accessible no matter where you are.
Right.
You know, granted, if you don't have a whole lot of caches, it's going to be tough no matter what.
Right.
But at least the seven is something that you can do a little bit easier if you're not in a cache-rich location.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I even struggled last year with the 30 days just because I just happened to move a little before that, so it was a little easier because I was in a newer area. But it was still kind of a struggle, you know, to find a cache every day because I've cleared out most of the area, you know, around where I live.
And there's some countries that I've heard from some of our viewers and listeners as well, where they simply said, I think it was Ireland for one, or at least Northern Ireland, there was one Earth cache.
Oh, goodness gracious, really?
Yeah, so it's like, okay, guys, I think, you know, with an amazing country like that, getting some Earth caches in there might behoove you, not necessarily because of the souvenirs, but it's a great opportunity to do something like that and encourage that form of geocaching.
I've come across so many bad Earth caches, and, like, they only have one?
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, okay, well, that's a good one to go through and go from there.
Shame on Ireland.
The beauty is, though, it's got to be a really good earth gash in Ireland if it's only one.
I would hope so.
We got time for one more?
I said, let's do one more.
Okay, Brad Clark wrote in, I preferred the seven souvenirs of August over the 31 days they did in 2013. The seven souvenirs of August actually motivated me to look for the other cache types I didn't always go after, since I tend to look for caches in clusters to make, careful, Scott,
it's all about the numbers.
Make the driver clusters worldwide. I went a bit overboard on it, though, and had it all done in August 3rd. Mm-hmm. Last month was a big caching month for me in general, when attending my first mega qualifying for several challenge caches and broke all but one of my personal records to date. And, you know, anything that's going to encourage people to go out and just expand and do better and find more, I mean, go for it.
Well, and congratulations, too, on breaking all those records.
Yeah, no doubt. That's awesome.
Well, and one thing I do want to kind of look at is the artwork. You know, the artwork last year was pretty darn boring. It was the same one over and over again. You know, individually, they weren't any different. You got the thumbnail that changed, mm-hmm. but the actual full-size one wasn't that interesting.
It was a clip
and
art.
People got, well, it was, yeah, it, well, it wasn't, they actually generated it, but it was the same one, just with a different mm-hmm. set of text thrown on mm-hmm. it. And people were kind of saying, after the first couple of days, what, I don't get a different piece of artwork? So this time, we had seven unique pieces of artwork that did make nice tags and nice geocoins, and I think that really did help motivate a certain set of people. You know, the collector types really liked this artwork, and that motivated them to do it. Whereas last year, they started out and said, well, I'm not getting anything that's that interesting. I'm not going to bother.
Yeah. For me, it was more filling in the calendar than it was the actual clip art.
It was the OCD of missing a number.
For me, it was just an excuse to go out and try a streak yet again. Yeah. You know, it had been a while since I had attempted a streak. I wanted to get a bigger, longer streak. I don't want to do a year streak, but 123 days wasn't too bad.
And how many people now have streaks of 31 that they never even thought they were going to?
Exactly. Yeah. And it got them. And it got them out.
Or more.
In a great month. And it got them off the couch. And got them out. It got them off the couch every single day.
Yep.
Well, and I can't tell you how many people I talked with who had started the streak, and about 20 days in, they're like, oh, this is getting boring. And about, 4 days later, wow, okay, now I'm into a rhythm. And they continued until about 50 days later, and then they're like, this is going to be work again. And then that's when they would quit. So, it's everyone went through the same kind of cycle, and if it hadn't been for the souvenirs, they would not have made it to the 31 days.
Sure.
Yeah.
So at least it forced them to do the 31. Almost everyone I know went for more than 31, though a few people who hit that 32nd day were, I am just so done with this. I'm not going to do another cache for like the next month.
Really? That? almost everybody I know went past the 30. Yeah, I would say that. I agree with you. Like, went past the 31, which is good. It got people out, and it got caches being found. And, that's what the game is all about. So
that's it. And sometimes, you just need that good little kick in the pants to encourage people anyway. So if this helps, great. So overall, guys, do you think this was a good success? Do you think that people are going to be encouraged for whatever they come up with next year?
Well, I think this definitely was better received than last year's. I think I liked last year's better because it kept me engaged all month, but I certainly thought this was easier, and I liked that competition that they added with those numbers. I think people are going to be excited for next year, and my vote is that they somehow try to figure out how to make it so that the souvenirs are for caching with friends. So you have to do X number of caches on the same day with your, you know, everyone has to log in. You have to have, you know, X number of friends to get X level of cash. And, you know, they have to be on your friends list or something. You know, details would have to be worked out. But I could see that being an interesting way to go and something very different from what we've had these last
two
years.
Yeah, and I agree with Daryl. And I liked last year's better. I liked this year's, but like I said, I was done in a couple of days. And last year it kept me engaged for the entire month, and it kept me going for more than that, for months after that. In terms of next year, I'm not good at thinking that stuff up. I'd like to see it broken down into weeks, actually, is what I'd like, instead of just a month, whether it's like a week of only multi-caches or a week of only puzzle caches, you know, get some puzzle, or how about DTs, DT ratings even, you know, like, if you can get a week of, you know, two twos, you know, or something along those lines. Along those lines.
Well, I could see them even doing the same kind of thing that they did this year with you have to do, you know, every type of cache. Well, maybe next year it's you have
every
to do,
DT?
You know, not every DT, because that's going to be insane. But, you know, maybe they do, you have to do a 1-1, you have to do
a
2-2, you have to do a 1 terrain, a 2 terrain, or something like that.
Double up, like
a
1-1, 2-2, 3-3, 4-4, 5-5.
Well, I'm thinking you just have to do, like, every major terrain, you know, so you have to do a terrain 1 through 5, and you have to do a, difficulty 1 through 5. And it doesn't matter what's what, so in theory, you could complete it with 5 caches if you got, you know, a 1-1, a 2-2,
right.
A 3-3.
But if you don't, you get the combination. Mm-hmm. I like that.
I like it.
Yeah. So I do like that idea, because it would drive people to try some new caches, and it wouldn't be completely out of the world that you could actually pull it off. However, those fours are really, really tough to find.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And 5 means special equipment, so you would have to really prepare for those.
Yeah, there's a lot of fives that aren't all that challenging. But I could see where, like, those in wheelchairs could complain about the terrain on those stuff.
But, Daryl, no worries. I have Daryl coming into Chicago on Saturday. We're going to go caching on Saturday in the city. I created a flash mob for everybody in Chicago to meet Daryl. I made it a 3-3. So.
A 3-3 flash mob. What is it, in the river?
I'm going to have the logbook on top of the bean in the city. That's where the logbook's going to be. So.
It's either at or one of the more popular downtown spots where, you know, the police don't
I figure
go.
In the city, that's a terrain 3 right there. Come on, you got to park.
Yeah,
just
easy.
Just the cost of parking alone is a terrain 3. Come on.
And if you survive, you get bonus points.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Really good discussion, guys. Excellent stuff. By the way, folks, over the next couple of weeks, and this is a heads up for the hosts as well, next week we are going to be defining and going over geotours.
Ooh.
As opposed to geotrails.
Geotrails, not geotours.
Like I said, geotrails instead of geotours. Like I said, defining is really good, and hopefully we'll have that figured out before we actually
talk about it. I love a good
geotrail.
Geotrails are the best, man. Right to the
awesome.
Cash.
All right. So we'll define that. We'll have fun with it, and I'm sure I'll look like a deer in the headlights through half of it. So it'll be fun. Also, we got confirmation as well. On the 24th, the following week, we're going to have Sonny from Podcaster coming on talking about pocket lenses.
Pocket lenses.
So that'll be coming up as well in two weeks.
I've never met Sonny.
As well, and we'll need it after next week's discussion. I just know it. So good stuff. All right. Thanks, guys. Daryl, Scott, thank you so much. And thank you, our fine folks, for coming by and listening and subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. And also thank you to Lisa from cache-advance.com. Good show. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast, right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production and is produced by Daryl Wattenberg and Andy Smith. This show is copyright 2014 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.
Claire.